Man, you should go to johnstrauslaw.com. John Strauss is a great personal injury attorney. When I got hurt, he handled everything for me. He was on my side. And best of all, I didn't have to pay out of pocket. He got paid when I did.
That's great, because I cannot afford to pay out of pocket.
Yeah, don't let them confuse you and trick you. They treat you like you're a business. And it's not business. It's personal. Injury.
JohnStraussLaw.com.
The Night Space brings you High Time Storytime every Wednesday night from 10 to midnight on Mutiny Radio. Listen to San Francisco's finest underground comedians read crazy stories written by me, Arden, on The Night Space. The Night Space featuring High Time Storytime every Wednesday night from 10 to midnight on Mutiny Radio. High Time Storytime Volume 1 now available on Amazon.com for Kindle and electronic download.
Sunday, June 11th at Cobb's Comedy Club, 7:30 p.m. Tickets are $16 for the All-State Heavyweight Comedy Showdown! Hosted by Terry Dorsey, featuring some of the best comedians all over California, from San Francisco, Pam Benjamin, from Saratoga, Joey Avery, and all the way out of San Diego, Mike DeVore. Other comedians as well for only $16 at Cobb's Comedy Club, 915 Columbus Avenue. Go get your tickets for June 11th now.
Tell me what you think about your situation. Complication.
We'll be right back. welcome to the new edition of Unleash the Rain, coming live to you on Tuesday afternoon. It's a little different time. If you caught our show last week, I've just been informed that they changed the day today from Tuesday to Thursday, so now they're calling it Thursday. I'm pretty sure that's not my mistake. I'm pretty sure that was probably something from the Trump administration, but you know, who knows anymore. Anyway, this is your host, Vincent Montgomery, with Stacey Roach, who is waving at you. I have absolutely no friggin' idea. We've been doing this show for 2.5 years, and normally she waves epithets at me and realizes nobody can see it, so waving at me now isn't going to do any good. But let me tell you how to get a hold of us. We're coming to you live from the Mission in the heart of Silicon, California, in San Francisco, actually, California, at the corner of 21st and Florida. We have a live participation audience. You can walk in, ask your questions, give us some advice, tell us to go, if you tell us to go somewhere else, we know you're probably related to us. In any case, send us a tweet at unleashtherain.com. Look us up on Twitter or Facebook at unleashtherain.com. Send us an email at unleashtherain@unleashtherain.com. We do look at those venues during the show. So if you send us a piece of advice or a comment or criticism, you're going to get a hold of us right at any one of those locations. You can call us live at the station at 415-550-0511. And you can also reach us directly at Stacey@unleashtherain.com and Vincent@unleashtherain.com. And that's UNLEASHTHERAIN, just like rainfromthesky.com.
Hi.
Good morning.
Sorry. Afternoon. Yeah. Can you hear me?
I can.
My headset sounds weird. Anyway, sorry I'm running a little bit late today. I guess there was a delay in Oakland.
Yeah. Congratulations to the Warriors.
The Warriors celebration.
Parade. Yes.
Yeah, and the trains were mobbed in downtown Oakland. So
I was late last
I should have week. Had I should have had 30 minutes to get here, and I have this boot on my foot because I have this Achilles injury.
Yeah.
So I was like, 30 minutes is plenty of time to walk BART, but not 15 minutes.
Stop kicking people in the head, the nuts, and the butt.
I didn't.
Yeah, well, I don't believe that. I know you.
I didn't this time.
So get a hold of us. Let us know what you're looking at. We've got the new format. So as if you're a loyal listener, you know that we've changed from Tuesday to Thursday night, and now we're doing Thursday afternoons. The show's an hour long. We will be coming to you live. The live portion, at least, will be until 3 o'clock this afternoon. We will be in the studio a little bit afterwards. So if you do have a question or comment, or you'd like to be a guest on the show, we do have live guests, and you don't actually have to make it into the booth here.
No, although, people can call in.
Yes, but it is a really fun place to hang out. It's the Mission. It's in the least gentrified section of the Mission, and if
I don't know, it's borderline getting there though.
Yeah, it's borderline getting there. And this is just the general business of the Bay Area and San Francisco. Probably not. It's not probably different than Boston or any of the other high tech centers, but you've got a ton of people here that have lived here for 200 years with their families. You can get $1.50 pupusas, the best in all of San Francisco. They are absolutely killer. You could also have a really good hamburger. I think it's an okay hamburger. Stacey disagrees. She's more of a foodie than I am. But you can get a really great hamburger in walking distance from the station for just $55. Now, it costs extra for fries, drink, or anything else. That's just for the burger. $55 just for the burger. All here in the Mission in San Francisco, California. You cannot believe this place. It never ceases to amaze. No matter what the rest of the country does, it does its own thing here. So, anyway.
Okay, I'm just trying to log onto the Wi-Fi here.
Uh-huh.
And I just saw the Wi-Fi network that pops to the top is called FBI Surveillance Van Number 3, which I think is hilarious.
Yes.
So some people get very creative when they name their Wi-Fi network.
Yes. And it's an interesting sidelight. We're coming to you live from Mutiny Radio. It is it's an interesting format, mostly talk radio with politics from Mission District, and a lot of comedy. We're one of the few business shows. There's a couple of specialty interest shows, like a motorcycle show. But what is interesting here is that this radio station was actually a pirate radio station and cafe when it was first founded decades ago. It's been around for a long, long time. It's the only space in San Francisco with a live audience participation space. So we are hoping to get some demos in here and some great loud demos that you can, you know, hear.
Yeah, exactly.
But you can also walk in. We do have people walk in every once in a while.
Yeah, there's an audience space, which is super awesome.
So.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wish I could have brought Lulu today because it is her birthday. She is two today.
Yay!
She's often here in the studio with us. She's sort of our unofficial mascot.
Mm-hmm. She is indeed. And she when she was first came to the studio, she'd run around and chew on everything and dig into everything. Now she just pretty much sits on my lap.
Yeah, now she's pretty mellow. Well, she knows the drill. She's not so excited. And she's older. You know, she's not quite the puppy, although she is still a puppy. I'm currently fostering a German Shepherd mix. I think it's a German Shepherd lab mix because she's black and she's gorgeous. Her name is Licorice and she's beautiful and sweet. I was thinking about bringing her, but I didn't want to drive.
Well,
Licorice is too big to bring on Bart.
And since we shortened the show, we've got like 5 minutes of banter back and forth. By the way, I did get some feedback on the listener surveys we took last week.
And
they said that we didn't interact very much. Now, that might have been because I was late to the show. I got stuck in traffic, and it was the first 2 o'clock show. And as you mentioned today on your journey here, it's not normally we drive in together, but we haven't been in the last couple of months.
We also we had a call-in guest. I think it's hard to do interaction over the phone.
Yeah,
I think it's better when someone's in the studio, but that's not always possible. I mean,
no.
Danielle was awesome last week, and you know, she's coming at us from Florida, so.
Yeah, so, but what was interesting was the feedback was. People listen to the show for our banter and that we didn't banter back and forth, even our arguments. And that actually has come up a couple times in a lot of the participation surveys we've done. So
people like the banter.
People like the banter.
Mostly
we make fun of each other.
I enjoy making fun of you.
Yes. Yeah. A little too much, by the way. It's somewhat sadistic.
I don't think that. No. No.
It's borderline sadistic.
No, it's not. So the topic today is sort of like operational productivity. That's the terminology I wrapped around it after we were texting back and forth this morning.
Yes. And specifically, we're talking about all the changes in the cloud. There's a big Amazon event in the city today, which I'm actually on my way to as soon as we clear the show. And a number of, you know, just differences. And I think we've talked about this on the show many, many times. Over the course of the last 2 years, but when you create your business and you're looking to make it successful, you're all focused on that, getting it up and running. And today's show is more about you're successful, you're starting to get some momentum. What are the not necessarily technical obstacles, but the obstacles you have to pay attention to in your business? Not unlike, hey, if you're delivering stuff. Do you locate your warehouse at you know the freeway interchange when you know you have drivers out at 5 o'clock in the afternoon? So it's the little details,
exactly.
And we'll bring some stuff in, and we will bring technology to bear.
Yeah,
but it's those environmental factors that we kind of put off to the side because we haven't made it.
Right.
And
so this is interesting because I'm working with a client. Mm-hmm. They've been using Zoho CRM for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
They're growing their business. It's a solar business.
Mm-hmm.
They have a kind of a unique product that they make in the solar world. I'm not going to say who it is because I haven't gotten permission to talk about them in public. I'm sure they wouldn't mind, but I'd like to have them on to interview them. But their sales operation is growing, but now they're looking at as they build up their sales and close more deals and get more revenue, and they're opening up a new line of business. They've had one warehouse in California because they manufacture here in California, and they're looking to expand outside of California, within California, and then, you know, spreading east, so starting in like Nevada. And so they're looking at, you know, how do they manage multiple warehouses and shipping and calculating all those costs and making sure that when a sales rep does quote, they're pulling the product from the right warehouse and they're able to charge and recoup their shipping costs.
Yes.
And so it's just interesting. So we started talking about, you know, since they're on Zoho CRM, we started talking about Zoho inventory.
Right. And it's about that process. It's about how you legislate that process that was interesting to me when we breached the subject about what the show would be today. Because it's not just that. I mentioned this a couple times, but I had a client. We were consultants for them for 20 years. And they always, and they have to keep records, and then they do incremental sales. They base their business on, instead of selling the whole enchilada, sell the wrap or a couple of the beans, and then, and I'm using that figuratively, and right. then you can sell the rest of the stuff later on when they have the money, but because of the high-end product. So they made it palatable to a more middle-income clientele, but it was a high-end product. So they had to keep records of everything they did so they could add to those bases. So for instance, they put off. They didn't want to do anything. They never wanted to spend the money. They never wanted to look at technology or any other suit. And then 20 years later, in one of the most expensive real estate markets in all of California, they literally have 40% of their office space in file cabinets. File cabinets.
Wait, what do you mean 40% is in file? They have that much paper they're maintaining?
They have that much paper they're maintaining. And so once you let it get ahead of you like that and you don't come up with a solution or you don't look at that or start to plan it, and I'm not saying you start off by that. It's a little like having a business plan, and I'm going to digress here for a second, but the bottom line is once you have that much paper and they own their building and it's a multi-story building, and still 40% of it is tied up in dead inventory, mistakes, and paperwork. Once you start to look at that, that's a lot of money you're paying every month. Plus, it also has to be managed. In other words, right. if you're keeping that much paperwork, it means that somebody might want to look at something from 20 years ago.
Well, is that true, or is it just that they've just, like, the inertia of the paperwork has taken over?
Do they
have to legally go back and look at that paperwork, or is it just that nobody's really wants to dig in and go through all that paper and figure out what actually needs to be kept.
It's not a legal requirement. It's a business requirement for their clients. It's a promise they make their clients. And so they have the original manufacturer of the product, where it came from, color stuff, color codes at the time, color matches, so that if they have to match it 15 years later or they have a repair because it's guaranteed for life, they can get to it. So they knew this was going to be an issue. But what they didn't do is ever apply any logic to a solution. And so it got to be a critical mass. And guess what? It was just easier to keep file cabinets. But now they have four people who just run between file cabinets. So when you start to look at costs, and in the Bay Area, as in almost any metropolitan area in the United States, you're talking about secretaries here make $80,000.
Right.
So it's not cheap to have them running around. And that's the kind of stuff. It goes back to something we talked about last week, and we've harped on very much from the beginning, and that is something you and I both believe in, and it's something you and I do with our clients, and that is you've got to analyze your process and map that out. Whether you're implementing right. software, but everything else. If your business starts to grow, you need to acknowledge, hey, we have paperwork. Where are we going to do with it? How are we going to translate to something digital so we can look it up and one person can do the job of four? And how do we inventory that? Because it's incredibly cheap to put stuff in the cloud. Zoho, Salesforce, even QuickBooks.
Right.
You know, my company is a huge Amazon reseller. These are all cloud-based systems, but they're not going to design that structure for you.
Right.
And the storage structure or the data structure or how you look at.
Right. Well, I had a call today with a new client, mm-hmm. and I talked to her about the show, and hopefully she's going to be on the show soon. We interview her. She's based in Denver, and she does she does travel and tourism stuff, and her company, the owner, is really old school and is very suspicious of and doesn't really understand or trust or even like technology. So their process is very paper intensive. And even though they're spread all over the country, the reps are, they still have to keep paper everything because that's what the owner wants them to do. Now she can't see my client's remote office and they're all sort of like independent contractors. So it's sort of like going into a mortgage company where there's 30 mortgage brokers in the company, but they're really 30 separate companies, not one company of 30 people. So she wants to implement Zoho CRM. Actually, she did, but she didn't like the customization that this company set up for her. But I'm saying, you know, you need to migrate to paperless, and we need to start with looking at your process. And she totally bought into that idea. So that's what we did, is we kind of backed up the process and said, okay, you know, what are the steps, and where, as going walking through her process and how paper intensive it is, I was looking for opportunities to automate it, number one, and reduce the paper. Still keep the paper that she needs for the requirement of the owner, and some ease of use. She's like, sometimes it's just easier to grab a real file, right? It's easier to put my hands on, you know, the confirmations for things in a paper file than it is when a client calls me than looking it up in the system, which I don't necessarily agree with. But, you know, so anyway, it's just interesting. So we did start from the process.
Yeah.
And then identifying areas where there was huge redundancy.
Who would leave their phone on in the booth?
God, I'm sorry. Guess who it is?
Max.
Of course.
Yes.
Hold on.
So, are you gonna make him live?
Hi, Max.
Hey, what's up?
I'm on the radio, and so are you now.
Crap. I just wanted to print out resumes.
Oh, I forgot to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. You can go ahead and just turn the power on.
For those of you guys listening, and you've known, one of the reasons that both Stacy and I started our own businesses decades ago is because we had young children and we wanted to invest in that. So it was actually a lifestyle choice.
Why is it that every show
and so he calls
me every show.
And because
and it used to be on Tuesdays and he called, and now
from 4 to
I'm
6.
Thinking,
and then Thursday from 4
Thursday,
to 6.
And then Thursday from 4 to 6 and he would call, and now it's Thursdays from 2 to 3 and he still calls.
Yes.
And I saw him as I was leaving the house and said, I'm going to the city for the radio show. So that was like hours ago.
You're not a priority.
No,
he's a teenager.
I realize that.
Yeah. So back to what we were saying. I personally recommend, and I know you do too, that you have a business plan.
Yes, that's important. Oh my gosh, you're gonna kill it. Are you okay there?
Yeah, I am. And so
spicy peanuts.
They are spicy peanuts. So it's my lunch. I'm slamming it down.
Yep.
So I was running a little late. I've got to hanging party tomorrow night, and I wanted to look good for the young lady that I'm going to meet there. So,
a what party?
A hanging party.
What is a hanging party?
We're off subject now, but hanging party. But we're interacting,
oh,
so
yeah.
That'll
okay.
knock up our ratings.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
people will love it.
Yes, people will love it. So, a hanging party is when you buy a nice piece of art, and from an artist, and especially if they don't have a whole lot of sales in the area. And I'm not talking about the $50 kind.
Yeah, no, I know.
So, they have art shows here for the pedestrian, for just pedestrian traffic. They can walk in and some of that art goes for $30,000, and this is for just people off the street. So, but anyway, it's a hanging party for a piece of art that she just purchased. So, I had to get my hair cut today because I'm just not going to have time to do it between now and tomorrow night.
Gotcha.
So, but having said that, where was I? Oh, you got a business plan. And we talk about process management when you do anything, from setting up your accounting system.
Well, now wait a second. What do you consider a business plan? Because I think that mapping out your processes and having a business plan are two separate things.
They are two separate things. But what I'm saying is, when you do your business plan, you need to look at that plan. And part of the plan is, and here's where a lot of people fail when they have small businesses, they write that plan and then they don't really revisit it or rewrite it. You should look at it every year. And it may mean that you don't need to change it, but reread the dang thing, reread your notes from the original and see where you're going. Hey, I want to have this. I'm going to have a big office. I'm going to move an office to Stockton, maybe. So Stockton's a city outside the Bay Area. It's a nice transit corridor. So a lot of companies are moving their traffic out there. So I'm using a geographic example, but so you're looking at that and then you kind of put it off because things change. But what I'm saying is, when you look at the processes that you need to automate, you need to look at that business plan and then look at where you're going and where your growth is. I consider a business plan where, you know, we're going to do this, we're going to need this kind of capital, we're going to have this kind of sales, we anticipate this growth rate. And again, it's a plan.
Right.
It can be changed. But
it should be changed. It should be revisited at least annually, if not four times a year.
Yeah.
Quarterly would be great. Twice a year would be good. Annually is minimum.
Mm-hmm. So you need to look at that because it's not just about throwing stuff into a CRM or a CSM or to an accounting system or into document management. You have to do that as well. You have to look at what is it you're pulling from these documents that you need to, for instance, in the case of this client who, former client who had has 40% of their physical office space now in, it's the stupidest thing you've ever seen. 40% of in file cabinets they have to search through, and then somebody will pull a file, a cabinet. Here's the really stupid thing. If somebody pulls a file and they get the job and they don't put that file back.
Oh, that's brutal.
They literally will have somebody chase down a human being spend a whole day chasing down a file on desktop to desktop. So that's easily overcome.
Right.
But you have to plan for it, and you have to budget for it.
How is it overcome?
Well, you need to if you look at the steps that you do to create. For instance, your specialty is customer relationship management, and when you look at that, you're looking at the fields, what they need to populate, how they need to pull them, and what the reports look like.
Right.
Okay. So, what is it I need to collect, and then what does I need to feed back?
Right.
And how do I need to look at this? How it's not just a matter of calling something a widget. It may be that you want to look at, you have a product called a widget, and so you don't want to call things widgets in your CRM when you have a project that's a product called a widget. So, you have to look at that simple. It seems simple, but then people get, hundreds of thousands of pieces of paper or tons of. It doesn't have to be paper. It could be inventory, old inventory, or spare parts, or parts that you're obligated to keep. And so, where do you put them? How do you inventory them? And how do you address them so that you know where they are and what they are, without having to look at them? And who has to touch them? So, and almost all process management software like Salesforce, like Zoho, like Act, or any of the other brands out there, Oracle now, SAP, like those, you have to configure it so that it makes sense going in and it makes sense coming back out. And if you do that process successfully early on, it's very inexpensive. It's incremental growth. You're paying for volume growth. Your business grows. You have to add more data storage, people to manage it, maybe more fields, more horsepower on the back end computer so that you pull up that data faster, maybe a larger server farm, whatever you need from Microsoft terminal services, whatever that is. But you have to pay that, but you have to plan for it, because taking hundreds of thousands of documents, trying to scan them in now, and make them addressable by your staff.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
And it's
overwhelming.
It's overwhelming. It's hugely expensive, and it almost requires a project management team just to do that.
Yep.
So you now taken something, you pushed it off because you didn't want to spend. In this instance, my client did not want to spend the money. Oh no, we don't need that. We don't need that. And then they suddenly realize they're running out of space in their office, and they're going to have to rent more office space. Why?
Just for paper.
Just for paper.
That's ridiculous.
It is absolutely ludicrous. Now, they are successful at sales, so they're carrying the overhead, and they're successful at closing sales, so they can carry the financial overhead and pass it to their clients. But at some point, not every company can do that.
Right.
Or maybe that's your market is something different. Like, you want to bring caviar to the masses. Okay, so
Costco already did that.
What's that?
Costco already did that. Costco sells caviar at the certain times of year. I was shocked.
Well, pick some up and bring it to the station next time.
Okay, I think it's only at New Year's, Christmas and New Year's, around the holidays that they mm-hmm. carry it. But yeah.
But my point is that if your model is you're providing a service. For maybe entry level people or something that based on pricing, then these little details will put you out of business in 15 years.
Yes, it's true.
And it's also the reason why a lot of big companies, Yahoo and stuff have trouble transitioning in and out.
And when I was talking to my client earlier today, although she works for our company, she is basically mm-hmm. a one-man shop, mm-hmm. one-woman shop. And you know, she was like, oh, well, you know, are you saying, I think she thought I might have been saying that she needed to scan all of her documents in and, you know, go back and recreate history. And I'm like, no. From this day forward, like once we get everything up and running and customized, then just from this day forward, migrate to the new process. And then make a plan for, you know, maybe during her slow season, hire an intern or, you know, a high school student and have them sort of help her scan and get documents into the electronic system we're developing now. Mm-hmm. But not to go back and do it for the entire time she's been in the business. It's just, it's overwhelming, unnecessary.
Yes. So
you don't have to necessarily, I mean, I think your client with the 40% of their office space probably has a pretty big job of migrating that data into mm-hmm. electronic format, mm-hmm. but you don't have to do it all. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, how do you eat an elephant? Mm-hmm. One bite at a time.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't eat elephants.
I understand they're not very tasty.
Yeah. Tastes like chicken.
Yeah. So
I wouldn't know. I've never eaten an elephant. Don't anybody send me any nasty grams. I'm kidding.
Okay. But send us chicken. Or pies.
Pie.
If you come to the station
chicken
with a
pie. Don't threaten people. Don't threaten them marriage proposal. Don't do it. It scares people away.
Is that
it's why we haven't gotten any pie? Because they think they're going to have to marry you if they bring us pie.
Well,
like they brought the one time we did get a pie like substance.
But they waited till I was off the
because
air
because they didn't want to marry you.
Well, and they were getting married to somebody else too.
That was also part of the wrinkle. I mean, there.
I'm pretty open-minded, but you know,
yeah,
I'd like to be part of that process.
Yeah,
not a secondary part.
No, probably not.
But anything with proper planning can be driven home, and you're absolutely right. If you're at the point in your business where you've missed this, where you've missed the window where you really could transition to something that was more efficient,
yes,
and you had a little funds, then you have to look at that. We're no longer there, but our advice to them was to start doing everything from now on.
Which is what I just said.
Yep. And then start moving in five, and then start moving in geographic locations because it was a high-end product.
Right.
Their sales were coming from certain high-end markets here in the Bay Area.
Yep.
So
that's a great approach on the plan for that.
So pull it out. Packet, and then you can still keep that. But then the reason they had office space in the heart of the San Francisco Bay area was because they needed to get those documents. They're fundamental to their business. So people ask me all the time, what is it we do? And if I were to answer what you do or I do, that's really what we do. We sit there and we help people look at what their business is and how it's laid out and then discuss ways where we can improve it or how it has to be implemented so that it is it continues to be successful. And
you know, the other thing is that the other client that I mentioned before, the solar people, although we're going to build in, I mean, if we move forward with the plan I'm generating right now, we're going to build in some pretty cool customization, custom calculations for shipping and stuff. It's all going to be, you know, pick a warehouse from the drop-down, pick a client, you know, address from a drop-down, and then have the system go off and calculate the shipping and all the other stuff and come back and feed that into a quote system that's automated and sends the email to the client. And that's overkill for where they are today. But it's not going to be overkill when they have 20 warehouses all over the country.
Right.
So I'm lucky in that the owner of the company, although he's resisted spending money, he's been pretty bare bones up to this point and bootstrapped. And I totally respect that and think that's a great approach. At some point, you have to make an investment so that you can grow.
Yes. You have to budget. It's like, I mean, I keep telling people this all the time. It's like a car. It's amazing to me. How many people will, let's say, have a healthcare provider that runs a series of ambulances. They make sure those ambulances are serviced, they're oil changed, they're tuned up, and they're ready to go because it's their business. But then they get cheap on their computer systems in the back end, and they're like running a server on a piece of, Windows 10 machine, and they can't even dispatch without that piece of software running. And I said, you know, you can wrap around a vehicle that you forget to maintain and make up for that. But if your data, your infrastructure, your schedule, you don't know where you're supposed to be tomorrow.
Right.
You're in deep trouble.
Right.
And that's going to be a far more critical failure for you.
Right. And I think that, you know, in that automation, and especially automation between systems, so like between the CRM and the inventory system, for example, mm-hmm. or the CRM and the operations system or accounting, mm-hmm. that automation is not required when you're smaller, and you can actually throw resources at it. So you can have people mm-hmm. like migrating the data back and forth, right? Copy, mm-hmm. paste, whatever.
Right.
But that's not scalable.
No. It's also efficient.
And that's where you have to go back to the business plan. Mm-hmm. And I just put a link to an Inc. article on their Facebook page about mm-hmm. that has like 10 free business plan templates. So, mm-hmm. Because you need to plan for, you know, what do you think the revenue is going to be and what the costs are going to be. Right. And one of the things that I'm known for, not necessarily positively, is that when I go in and do a requirements or scoping engagement with a client, I come back and I give them, like, if I was going to do absolutely everything you need, and not what you need for today, but like planning out like 2 to 5 years, mm-hmm. this is what the system's going to look like, and this is what the total cost is going to be. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm a big believer in phased implementations, right? You don't have to do the whole thing all at once, but I would rather, and my competitors go in with and price phase one. Mm-hmm. So they say we have a plan for everything, but they really only give you phase one. Mm-hmm. And then when phase one is done, then they're like, oh yeah, the rest of that, you have to pay more. My approach, which sometimes gets me tossed out of the running on these deals, which is fine, is here's phases 1 through 5, the total cost. Tell me what's most important and what you want to spend money on today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm not saying you have to spend, you know, the do all 5 phase worth of work right now. Mm-hmm. If you want to, that's fine. But, you know, but the problem is my approach is that I want my customers to know as much as we can know right now, so that they can implement, or they can plug those numbers into their business plan.
Yeah.
And I'd rather give them more information and data and price points so that they can plan and budget for that. But my competitors want to close the deal, so they put in a lower bid. Yeah. So.
I know too now, quite a bit now that companies like Salesforce and Oracle and Workplace and some of the other big companies here in the Bay Area now assign project managers for just the data stores when they take on clients. So if you're a mid-level company or you choose one of those, you pay more for that product because SAP or Oracle or Salesforce are not cheap products, then they will provide that for you, but you pay for it up front and you're budgeting it for it out. In the more scalable end of the field, like Zoho or even QuickBooks, for instance, or Intuit, you don't have that, although Intuit does have enterprise an enterprise division, but you don't have that. But they do, and you need to just pay for that. So one way or another, you're going to pay for it anyway.
And what do you mean? So
you're either, if you don't do it, you're going to pay for it because you're going to have to either buy another building and buy a 2-story building in downtown San Francisco just for file cabinets and have 5 people running across the street all the time. Think about the cost. It's almost ridiculous, but you get to a point where you're selling more and more and more. You can't not be there. Right. Or you can stop, take a breath, plan for it, budget for it, and then implement it in a phased approach.
Right. And the other part of that, though, is mm-hmm. the planning and the stopping is not possible.
Right.
So the other thing I try to tell my clients is there's going to be some parallel processes here, right?
Yes.
So you're going to continue your current manual process or paper process or whatever it is mm-hmm. while we build out the new process. And that requires double money running both systems for a while.
Right.
And that's, you know, you're not going to see the savings of the automation and the integration and the digitization of your work product until we're able to sunset those legacy systems and those processes that are all manual and paper. So I tell them you're going to see a payoff, but it's not going to be right away.
Well, it also...
I don't know. Maybe I should stop telling people the truth about this stuff.
Yeah. I wouldn't...
I think I talked myself out of...
I disagree with you, actually.
I I'm not going to change.
I disagree with you.
I'm not going to change how I do work.
But I disagree with you.
Why?
I think your premise is wrong.
Okay. You're wrong, but go ahead.
Because
I think your hair is wrong.
You just got it cut.
I know.
Well, okay, Rebecca. We may be in trouble. You
just
may have to get me
kidding.
A hat.
Just kidding. Just kidding. Go ahead. Why? What's wrong about my premise?
So
besides nothing.
So
besides absolutely nothing's wrong with my premise. Go ahead.
The catch
I can't
is.
Wait. Go ahead.
There are two things here that
really go ahead.
You have to take into consideration. This company is very labor intensive. The one I'm talking about with the file cabinets for 40% of their business.
40% of their office space.
They attract a lot of kids out of college. They have a good reputation. They're known as a high-end product. And then they get there, and what do those kids do? They run pulling files out of a file cabinet and then run around from desk to desk looking over everybody's desk to see if they can find the files that are missing.
Yep.
You know how many people really want to do that for a living for
Not
very
many.
Long?
Not many.
None. I mean, you could be high on crack the whole day and still get bored that whatever that term is that,
yes.
that starts with an SH that's a business term.
Yes.
That you can say on the air so you can listen to this in your office.
Yes.
So you're going to have turnover, and that's what they do. They have four people just trying to get human beings into their office. They can't hire enough. Well, they also happen to be very, very cheap. Baristas at Starbucks make more, but that's number one. And number two is once you get through that parallel processing, you should be able to see some benefits. So let's say they have four people looking for file cabinets. Then they hire Stacy, and she's going to have a parallel process. They can pull four of those two to run the parallel process while they have the other two do two of those four, right. So it actually is no increment in cost. Now, there is a political side to that too, and we've talked about the politics of hiring people and keeping people. So you just need to let them know, hey, once we get this automated, we're going to have everybody move out, or we're going to promote this. So I am a big believer of saying, hey, once we get this done, Joe Blow, who's been with us in filing for 20 years, is now going to be our new, file checker. She's going to make sure that all new clients have all the right forms.
Sometimes when I talk automation, I think people think I'm trying to get rid of their employees.
Right.
Employees get a little threatened about their jobs. And
yes.
What I found is in a growing economy, which we are in a growing economy right now.
Yes.
I would say that I'm starting to hear a lot more of my clients say things like, I need an extra pair of hands. I just don't have, there's not enough hours in the day. Right. So what I'm telling people is I'm not reducing your workforce. I'm increasing their productivity because rather than spending time on low payoff activities like filing and fetching files, mm-hmm. they're going to be, making sure that the data structure and the database is correct.
Mm-hmm.
So, it just shifts their work. I'm not getting rid of them.
No. And that
gives you more capacity to grow with your existing staff.
Right. It's a process. But it's not difficult. And once you agree to the process, you let it run and you're out of it. But the nice thing about it is you've made yourself more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
Because instead of chasing files down, you can look at something right away. Instead of having a file. So here's another problem with this data store. And again, I want to talk about it because, for instance, I'm going to the community cloud event from this show to the Amazon Community Cloud event.
Well, you have to take me to BART first because I'm not making that walk again with my boot.
No problem. It's on mission, so I'll take you into the city and get you on the mission.
Perfect.
Train. So, but it's also about accessing it. So think about the minor inconveniences. And here is another point to why your premise is a little skewed or off or just not correct, depending on how you want to look at it. I'd say just you're wrong, but I like saying you're wrong.
Because you're saying it about yourself? I know you are, but what am I?
I'm wrong in all the ways your mom, your dad, and your parole officer told you about.
Exactly.
So here's the catch. As you look at that paperwork, so let's say in the case of paperwork, and that's actually a big thing I see a lot of in small businesses, paperwork is not something they pay attention to. As you increase that paperwork, if I get a new client, I have a file. If I get an existing client, I'm pulling a file to do a this. It happens to be construction, a home improvement company. Mm-hmm. So they're doing a home improvement file. It has to be looked at. They have the dimensions. They have all of that stuff in that file, which is why they need to keep it. It's measurements and color choices and all that good stuff. Having done that, they have one huge Achilles heel, and it's killing them now. And that is, as they add product lines, they need to look at that. And if they're going to cross-sell, which they're doing, which is one of the reasons they're so successful, they only have one file.
Right.
They only have one piece of paper. If somebody grabs it to do another cross-pollination sale, because we're going out there anyway, and that sales rep, who's notoriously bad at paperwork, puts it in his briefcase, even though he's not supposed to, what do you do with that? You've lost the data. You right. can't share it. Right. Your production department can't see it. Your accounting department can't see it. So you're left with an incomplete paper trail. And the other thing is, in the way they have it now, they're re-entering the same data every time they get an update.
Yes.
So let's say there are 30, they've got 30 widgets they're going to sell. They have a potential of 30 widgets they're going to sell a client. The client's bought 5. Then 5 years later, they're going to buy another 5. They still have 20 widgets they can sell. And so they still have to have access to that and all. But every time they sell, the accounting department has to put them in as a different invoice, because the accounting, right. the accounting department is not tracking invoices for 10 years.
Right.
And so, and they shouldn't be, because that's the other side of putting stuff in the cloud. And one of the biggest reasons I have people say, I don't want to do that, because mm-hmm. then the government can look, and or they can hack me, or somebody can steal it. Well, it's all about process management and planning. And it seems like that's kind of the nature of our show the last couple of months is...
And I was going to, I'm pretty sure that on July 12th, mm-hmm. so I'll put this on our Facebook page as well, but I was just invited by the product manager for the Zoho Finance Suite mm-hmm. to participate and present at a meetup in Pleasanton. We're thinking probably end of the day, so July 12th, that's a Wednesday, I believe. Mm-hmm. And it's about getting... sales and accounting or finance on the same page and focused on, you know, how to get pipeline visibility and, you know, get paid faster after you close deals. And, so it's, you know, that's part of this whole, you know, operational efficiency kind of deal shenanigan.
Mm-hmm. It is, it'll be interesting. And next week, maybe we'll have a few minutes and I can talk about the community event that I'm going to attend. And I know you attend a bunch of events too. Used to travel a lot to do these events. Now it seems like most of the killer apps in our kind of specialties
are in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
Everybody comes to us. Silicon Valley, babe.
Yep. So
we're so hip and cool here.
Yeah. And
So I think it's going to be like 5:30 to 7:30 on the second Wednesday of July, July 12th.
Yes. So, and typically, if you're new to the show or you're hearing us for the first time because of the new time slot, we do publish this stuff. Again, it's on our everything is Unleash the Rain. It's Unleash the Rain. We have all of those. UnleashTheRain.com, Unleash the Rain on Facebook, Unleash the Rain on Twitter. And so if you look at it, even if you forget our names, if you send anything to Unleash the Rain at UnleashTheRain.com, you get a hold of us. We're very open to taking your comments and suggestions. So let's say you have you're listening to the show and you suddenly realize, holy schmoly, that's part of my problem.
Holy schmoly?
Yeah, that's
is that what people say?
That's what people say in offices in it may be a Far East Bay thing.
Okay, probably.
Yeah. So we're making an aside to the Bay Area has all these microclimates, and it seems like every microclimate in the Bay Area has a different dialect of English.
This is true. And culture, almost.
Culture.
Yeah. I have a friend who lives in the city, and
yes.
I was going to text her today and tell her that I think it's going to get to be 93 in Concord where I live.
Yes.
And it's too warm in the city for her right now today, I know, for a fact.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful, sunny, like 75 degrees in the city, and
yes.
She doesn't like it.
No.
So.
Well, in certain parts of the city. So.
That's true.
I have a friend that lived in, I can't remember the section near Daly City, and and this time of year, there is no sun. It can be 75 in Embarcadero. It is not going to be more than 64 in the same city, folks, in the same city. So the Bay Area is a little weird that way. I spent some time in Texas and Houston, and that is a lot of the same.
Yeah.
And I just don't know why people just don't have a business dress code in Houston in the summer of shorts and a tank top.
Ugh, it's brutal.
For everybody.
It's brutal there.
Yeah. I thought remote starters were for like really cold regions. I could not start, and I've whined about this a couple of times. I could not start my car, because that was back in my suit wearing days, right? So I'd go out and meet clients and I wear a suit and tie. I literally had to run out in my underwear to start my car, and I didn't care what the neighbors thought, and run it for 20 minutes
to
get it cool enough, and then run inside, put on my clothes and my suit, and then jump into the car. And I would still be, I could not wear a shirt more than one day at a time, even with an undershirt on. So it's a little different here in the Bay Area, but anyway, feel free to, one of the nice things too about coming to the show, and if you have a nice product and you're based out of Idaho and you really want to talk and promote it, you can write it off. Write the trip off to San Francisco. And I will tell you this, folks.
Marketing expense.
And San Francisco, in my opinion, in all the cities, is still one of my favorite places to be. And it's the home of the Warriors.
Yes.
And the A's.
And the Giants. And the 49ers.
And the Giants are out of New York. They're a football team out of New York.
You're funny.
They really are.
I know. You're just such an A's fan.
I like baseball. And they're the baseball team.
The Giants are a baseball team as well.
When did that happen?
How are the A's looking this year, by the way?
As bad as the Giants.
Yeah.
We have the Warriors. The Warriors won the national championship.
I know. Let's just keep talking about that. Let's keep focusing.
They had a parade
today. Yeah.
Exciting. They're going to win again next year.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope so.
Well, with
Steph Curry and Kevin Durant, it's kind of an unstoppable. And Iguodala and
Green.
And it is an unstoppable team.
What about Michael Thompson? He's not like an also-ran. Yeah. But I think it'll be Cleveland. I think it'll be Cleveland and the Warriors, unless something drastic happens.
I don't think it'll be Cleveland.
Next year?
Nope.
No, I don't think they'll shore it up. I mean, when you have LeBron James, who is arguably one of the best players ever to play the game, notwithstanding the Warriors, but he is brilliant. When you have him there working, not because of money, but because of love, and he's going to stay there. He needs to be paid, but he's not there for the money.
They need to get a better team around him.
But
he can no longer.
I'm sorry, they've been in the finals 3 years in a row. They have a pretty dang good team. It's not like we beat a slouch.
No, that's true.
They overcame a 3-game deficit last year. It's never been done in the history of basketball.
I know, that's true.
Against the same team.
I know.
Well, we didn't have KD last year, and Green was kicked off.
Yeah.
But anyway, and then you're right, because no matter what happens. One guy, you can always figure out how to shut down one guy. So you need a couple. But
yeah, but we're off topic. We're so way off topic.
Yeah. Well, you know what? People in the listener feedback we got, they said we need to ramble more.
No, we don't need to ramble more. I disagree.
Well, it's a byproduct of my brain.
I understand that. It's going to be my job to keep you on track. Mm-hmm. Like just now when I brought us back around on the topic.
Yeah, because we're almost done.
I know. We have like 6 minutes left.
Yeah. So what should people do?
So people should look at our Facebook page, and if they don't have a business plan, they should look at one of those 10 templates that's in that Inc. article and put together a business plan. And then from that, they need to start mapping out their processes.
Yes.
I don't even care if it's Post-it notes on the wall or a whiteboard. Start anywhere. It doesn't have to be sophisticated tools that you're doing.
No.
You don't have to pay anybody big money. The woman who I worked with today, she just literally sat down and opened a Word document. And as she was going through her process from lead to customer, she just wrote down everything she did.
Right. And so
I was like, that's perfect.
That's what I would
suggest.
That's
perfect.
So start with the marketing. How do you market?
Lead to customer.
What's that
look like?
Then somebody calls in.
Yep.
Then what do they do when they call into your organization? Write it down. It's just basically an org map or a process map. Just if you've done organization mapping, Just do it like that. And that's what my recommendation to the clients too. Write it down.
And then there were some things on there. It was funny. There were some things on there. I was like, well, why do you do this? And she was like, I don't know. The person who trained me always did that. So I did it. I was like, okay. What do you go? Do you ever reference that information again? She's like, I never have. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you'll find things in your organization or your process that's like, okay, that's nutty.
Yeah.
And I sat with a client last week in their office, and I walked, and he said, you need to see how I create a quote. You're going to die. And he was right. Like, three steps in, I was like, this is crazy. Takes way too long. It's the client that was looking at the warehouses. And he's like, imagine this times 20 warehouses. It took him probably, it probably takes him like 25 minutes to do a simple quote.
Yeah. It's
and that's not sustainable.
No. In fact, there's a large group of clients that are going to not even want to talk to a human being. It is the nature of our changing universe where you and folks nowadays, if you don't think about this with your business, but if you're selling something or promoting something, there is a number of clients out there, a significant number, double digit, who are never going to want to talk to anybody from your organization ever. And they don't ever want to. They don't want to talk to your customer service team. They don't want to talk to your sales team.
Well,
they know what they want. They want to order it, and they want to place that order on the web and get it shipped or ordered or scheduled or whatever. So,
well, the other thing I was going to say is that once you talk about like from lead to customer, from your process, internal process, then flip it and look at the journey, the customer journey. So what is their interaction with your company, and what are they looking for throughout each of those different processes? What do they need? And if you're not giving them what they need, then you're not going to close those deals.
I am going to give you a suggestion now that's from you. Our listeners.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to give you a suggestion now.
I was going to say, I'm open, wide ears. What do you got for me?
It's something you mentioned to me, actually, when you were going through a business process plan with the client you had. This is maybe 6, 8 months ago, if somebody wants to look at one of the old shows. But you had this, you did this, the client finally bought off on the business process because they realized they weren't going to put this, you know, they paid two or three times to put their CRM in place and they didn't ever look at it.
Fail.
And then the sales reps wouldn't use it. So you have to make it mandatory. That's the step one.
Yep.
And it's not an option. And then they called you back after you created everything.
Yes.
And they said, well, we're 7 days a week. And we put a process in place for the 5 days, but day 6 and 7, it's a completely different process because it's a skeleton crew.
Yes.
And they look and need different things because they're doing double duty.
Yes.
So here's how you're going to save a ton of money. Look for the exceptions and be aware.
Right.
Note them. If you've hired somebody who's done this before, they're going to be able to look at that process and say, hey, don't worry about this or this needs to go. But it's that will save you a ton of money. So look for the exceptions as well. Make sure that if you run a 24/7 shop, but you really have people on site from 12 o'clock midnight to 7 a.m. and they're really warehouse people who are customer service friendly, like they can talk to a human being, then you need to allow for that and help them be more efficient too, and or either streamline the process. Now, interestingly enough, you can do that with the technology. You can actually make the CRM or the CSM or the accounting system or the business processes scale to that level too and turn off at times. So there you go.
Yep. So process planning, business plan, map out your processes, look at the customer experience across the whole journey.
And both of us recommend is to put it down in paper.
Yeah. This has been Unleash the Rain. I'm Stacey Roach, and I'm here with Vincent Montgomery. We'll be here next Thursday at 2 p.m.
You got it.
And I'm going to pull up a show here real quick.
Right. And until then, please feel free to communicate with us at unleashtherain@unleashtherain.com. That will go actually both to Stacey and I, or you can send something to Stacey at who special.